Everybody comfortable? 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Need to be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Paul is giving instruction to Timothy about ordination. That is the interpretation of the verse. As we all know, with the interpretation comes a number of applications. And in every verse of Scripture, biblical principles are established. It's not our intent to preach a message upon the subject of ordination, though that's what that verse is teaching upon. We do want to stress the biblical principle or principles that is established. Notice, lay hands suddenly on no man. The principle, be not hasty. That's the biblical principle. Secondly, neither be partaker of other men's sins. The principle, do not become a participant in the sins of others. The third thing stated is keep thyself pure. The principle is to keep your heart first and your conduct pure. So we have three biblical principles. I believe those three biblical principles apply to everything in life. There isn't anything you can think of that those principles do not apply. So what we read here are words of caution that apply to everything. In this message, we want to keep these principles in mind as we consider the subject of computer technology and social media. What you're getting tonight is what I've been thinking about for a long, long, long time, since 2004, really. And you're just getting a rough draft. I believe the Lord would have me preach this at conferences, but you're just getting a rough draft. When I say social media, just so you know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, email, and I'm including in that texting as well. It's not so much a message about technology, but about scriptural principles that ought to be applied when using technology. And we see three of these principles right here. Do not be hasty. Do not become participant in other people's sins. And keep yourself pure. Those are good principles concerning computer technology. So these principles, computer technology is not an exception to biblical principles. To be clear, technology is inanimate. It is a tool. And therefore, it cannot be good or evil. Technology itself, the computer itself, Facebook, Twitter, They're inanimate. They're not good. They're not evil. Radio. The telephone. Television. At one time were great and marvelous technological breakthroughs. None of those were evil in and of themselves. We can all, well, maybe not all of us, but many of us can remember back 40 years ago, television was preached against a lot. Well, I'm here to tell you something far worse than television is a tool today in Satan's hands. But none of these things in and of themselves are evil. But there's a problem. You enter humanity into the equation. Now we've got a problem. And once you enter humanity into the equation, the potential for evil is off the charts. And far outweighs the potential for good. Far outweighs. Once you enter the human element. Because of the human equation or factor, I believe that the downfalls far, far outweigh the benefits and the potential. When it comes to technology, and we emphasize computer technology, the difference between it being a blessing and a curse is dependent upon its users. And if you understand anything at all about human nature, that's scary. It really is. When you think of the power, what a powerful tool this is, and you enter human nature, it's a scary thing. Social media is defined as forms of electronic communication through which users can create online communication to share information, ideas, personal messages, and other content such as photos and videos. You say, well, that's great. Enter the human equation. You got a problem. No matter what your view on computer technology and social media, no one can argue that it has not changed the behavior of a whole society. It's changed the behavior of a whole world. And without a doubt, has taken over our lives. So lest it be said that I am adamantly against all forms of computer technology and all forms of social media, that's not so. It's not true at all. There has been good promoted through social media. But in this message, that's not the emphasis. It is also a tool of evil. It is a tool of destruction. And I believe it's Satan's greatest tool today. The subject of the message is avoiding the social media swamp or cesspool, whatever you prefer. There will be some, very few, who have very little idea what I'm talking about in this message. And if that's you, you're blessed. And I'm envious of you. There will be others who may become offended and try their best to defend social media. If that is you, may I say that social media is your God. And that's why you try to defend it so, because you really can't defend it. And then there will be those who wholeheartedly agree. First of all, we want to look at the power and the potential of social media. Think of the good things about it. We, of course, live in a very unique age. Biblically, we live in the last days of the last days. That's a very unique age, a very special time. We live in a unique age from the standpoint of technology. We are a technology-dependent world. I used to wonder how in the world the Antichrist was going to have such control worldwide and so quickly. Well, we know today it will be one of his tools. And the Antichrist spirit, it's that tool as well. Computer technology, whether we like it or not, grows bigger by the day. And it's here to stay. It's not going away. It has enabled us to be linked to the world. And such, of course, is a very powerful tool. And has the potential of both good and evil. Computer technology has enabled us to stay updated on news and current events. Something that once upon a time was done through newspapers. Word of mouth. Evening news. And there is no such thing anymore. Remember when evening news was a half hour? That was like 15 minutes of news, a few minutes of weather, a few minutes of sports, throw in some commercials. But it was news. It wasn't comments by a bunch of leftists concerning events. We don't have news anymore. We have commentary. But computer technology has given us access to news. Computer technology has given us much information. Information of all kinds is readily and instantly available. One click, one swipe, and there it is, information. That's a powerful tool. And it has the potential for both good and evil. Computer technology makes it easy to share information. What we're thinking, not necessarily a good thing. What we're doing. No one cares if you're eating meatloaf. Believe it or not, you're not that important. Just a few swipes and taps of the finger, we can tell people what we think or what we're doing. That's a powerful tool. Has the potential of both good and evil. Computer technology has enabled us to connect in a variety of ways with family. And friends that may be separated by great distance. And no doubt that aspect makes life more enjoyable. No question. We can be part of a person's world, though distance keeps us apart. There's allowed missionaries around the world to be more attached. And it can also be a powerful tool to bear witness of the gospel. Computer technology is great when it comes to events that are very time sensitive and require immediate attention. It's a powerful tool. It can be very lucrative for businesses, without a doubt. And without a doubt is a very, very successful tool for businesses to promote their message and or their product. Without a doubt, computer technology has completely revolutionized public relations, the public relations field, allowing businesses to find and communicate with clients. That's a powerful tool. Computer technology in many ways has made our lives more convenient. It's nice that you don't have to fumble around with a road map. You can just push a button and there it is. Those are nice things. We do not deny that. So it's a very powerful tool. Facebook is the world's largest media site. It was launched in February of 2004. Mark Zuckerberg and his college roommate. Today, if Facebook were a country, it would be the third largest in the world, behind China and India. That's powerful. Facebook is a very powerful tool. Here's some fourth quarter 2017 information concerning Facebook. 2.13 billion monthly active Facebook users. 1.4 billion log onto Facebook daily. 5 new profiles created every second. Estimated that there are 83 million fake profiles. I would imagine there's more than that. 76% of females, 66% of males are active users. Photo uploads daily, 300 million. Every minute, 510,000 comments are posted. Every minute, 293 statuses are updated. And every minute, 136,000 photos are updated. What a powerful, powerful tool. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, email, texting have become an integral part of our society, and they're all very powerful and influential tools for good and for evil. And social media has evolved into a powerful, life-consuming empire. That's what it is. It is a life-consuming empire. And when you enter the human equation, it's frightening. It really is. Again, all these things are great if people don't use them. But once you enter people, you've got problems. So that brings us to, I made it clear that I'm not against computers, not against technology. And we want to look now at the landmines of cyberspace, and there are innumerable landmines. For all the good that social media has promoted, there is also a side that is unbelievably destructive. Social media is a means of communication. It is a platform for your voice. Not just a platform for your voice, but the platform for everyone who uses it. It is a platform for depravity. Without question, the prevalence of social media has changed the way our society and our world communicates. The biblical principles that were laid out in our text certainly apply to communication, without a doubt. And the Bible, of course, has much to say about our speech. And many biblical principles are laid out in the Word of God concerning our speech. And the application of these principles are not limited to the spoken word. They're not limited to the spoken word and are not excluded because our words go through the means of technology or because you are hidden behind a screen. Biblical principles still apply. The ones we just read in 1 Timothy 5:22. These biblical principles that we're about to mention apply to all forms of communication, whether you're hid behind a screen or whether you're speaking to someone face to face. Solomon declared in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that applies to social media. It's communication. The power of speech emphasizes the necessity of control. Solomon also declared, and this is a principle I wish people would learn and learn right now concerning social media, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Speech has a powerful impact upon life. And the Bible teaches that our tongues, words spoken, or printed, as far as that goes, can be both for evil and for good. We read in Proverbs 21 and 23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his souls from troubles." How many people would spare their lives and their families a lot of troubles if they would just control their fingers? If they could just have some control. But they don't. It's the same as the tongue that has no control. In Proverbs 25 and 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." What that means is words timely and properly has to matter and has to method and has to time and place and purposes and persons is a beautiful thing. When it's all done correctly. And it's far from a beautiful thing if incorrect. Proverbs 29:11. "A fool uttereth all his mind." Oh, Facebook and social media has manifested there's a lot of fools out there. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." We read in Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." This isn't just referring. The principles go beyond the spoken word. The principles apply to computer technology. In addition to these biblical truths regarding communication, there are some more biblical principles in addition to the ones laid out in our text verses. And again, these apply when you post, when you Twitter, when you Instagram, when you email, when you text. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth or out of your phone or out of your computer, but that which is good to the use of edifying." People have different definition of edifying than the dictionary today, by the way. "That it may minister grace unto the hearers." Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." Computer technology is a social connector. No doubt it has redefined our ability to communicate in different ways, certainly more frequently than ever before. And then you enter the human equation, and it's frightening. Before you post, Twitter, Instagram, email, or text, consider biblical principles. Consider your testimony. People's testimonies have been ruined. Say, how do you know that? Well, they've been ruined in my eyes. I've lost a lot of respect for people I've had respect for through the years. A lot. And I'm not even on the nonsense. I get texts. I don't get Facebook, but I'm alerted when I need to know something. The way we use technology reflects our heart. In fact, social media is like an X-ray machine for the heart. and for character of a person. I'll be the little brother Keller here. It's like it's an X-ray machine for stupid. It really is. And ignorance and hatefulness. I'm talking about God's people. I'm not even concerned with what the world puts out. I'm talking about God's people in God's churches. It has manifested that we have a lot of stupid people in our churches. A lot of ignorant people. A lot of hateful people. Racist people. Facebook has manifested that. One of the great dangers of communicating through social media is that social media has made it easy to communicate. It has made it easy to make comments, and let's be honest, comments that would get you fired at your job, comments that are not acceptable in the office, comments that are not acceptable in a school, comments that are not acceptable in churches or any other public place. It makes it easy to engage in less inhibited communication. And there is no doubt, because I have approached people and said, I want you to say to me what you said there. It has made people less inhibited and without a doubt more brave, more emboldened behind the screens of their computer and their phone. That's a fact. Social media encourages people to make public what any person with an ounce of common sense knows is private. And then they get mad because someone posted they didn't like it. You're getting into my business. You put it out there for the whole world. Once again, it is an X-ray machine for stupid. How ignorant can you be? To put something out in public and then gripe because the public knows it. I mean, do you have a brain cell that's even functioning? You've got to wonder. People have lost their minds. The prevalence of social media has changed the way that society and the world communicate. There's no doubt about that. And people now spend their time locked into a screen, and we now receive and give affirmation through the tap of a button. Communication through a screen has become the standard means of communication and carrying on a conversation. That's sad. It really is. Though in some ways, again, it's given us more opportunity to communicate, it has also done away with the most important form of communication, face-to-face. That's the most important form of communication. Direct interaction is no longer seen as the best way to communicate. You watch a husband and wife or two people at a table at a restaurant, they're both on their cell phones. They may be texting each other. It may be that bad. But there they are. And now posting or texting trumps face-to-face communication. And there's a society, there's a generation, well, it's already here, that have no idea how to communicate face-to-face. Nor do they have any desire to do so. So the emergence of online communication is really destroying communication, I believe. It's been used to replace rather than enhance the closest communication that we can have. And we have sacrificed the closest form of communication for so-called connection. Connection. It affects people how they act socially. There are people who don't even know how to act in social situations, face to face with human beings. They don't know how to act. They don't know what to do. They do everything through a screen. It's a sad, sad day. Man, of course, was created as a social creature. And as such, he looks for companionship. And with online communication, there's a difference in the way that we approach relationships and companionships. So though it is a powerful communicating tool, if you really look at it, it's had catastrophic effects upon communication. And I want to say it gives a false sense of connection. You think you're connected with your 500 friends. You have a false sense of connection. You really do. It gives the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship. Friendships require some demands. Friendships require some work. But again, computer technology gives us, or social media gives us, the illusion of companionship. So despite the connotation that it is connecting people, for the most part, social media does not do that. It really doesn't. It makes you think that you're connecting. I'll be honest with you, most of the people on Facebook I have no desire to connect with. I just assume they stay away from me. People who request and accept as many friends as possible, most of these relationships are so insignificant that you don't even know who your so-called friends are. But they're my friends. Got a different definition of friendship than I've got. So though computer technology has provided us conveniences, it can be used as a time saver. But do not be mistaken, by and large, it is a drain on time. It is a major time waster. It is not just about what a person does on social media, but how much time they spend doing it. I am getting a little bit tired, more than a little bit, of women who claim to be keepers at home when they sit at home on social media all day. You've got a different definition of keepers at home than God has. Completely different. Don't tell me that you're a keeper at home when all you do is be on social media. That's not what God had in mind as a keeper at home. Can't even have supper ready for your husband because you've been on social media all day. Can't clean the house because you've been on social media all the day. That's not a keeper at home. Can't watch your children because you've been on social media all day. That's not a keeper at home. Don't kid yourself. But there are many that are. So it's really a drain of time. The average person spends more than 3 hours a day on their mobile device. It is a narcotic of distraction. The other day, Wednesday, Sharon and I were in the doctor's office up in Ann Arbor, and I just sat there and watched people come in. I enjoy doing that. But they probably enjoy watching me too. But every single one, no exceptions, every single person that came in sat down, pulled their cell phone out. Every single one. It was like they couldn't wait. They're addicted. It's a narcotic. Whatever time is saved through conveniences is lost in other ways. So I believe it's a stretch to say that overall it's a time saver. I don't think so. I think overall it's a distraction. Social media can consume your soul. It will pull you in and use all its power to keep you there. Now, I hope this isn't offensive, but in reality, many people are social media whores. That's the truth. It's what they are. What do I mean by that? It's all they think about. They're always on it. Always wanting to know what other people's response is to their posts and to their comments and to their pictures and to their videos. Oh, I wonder what they think. Narcissism. But they post these things and then they can't wait to see people's response. They crave it. It's what they crave. Don't tell me you go on social media and post something and then forget about what you posted. Don't tell me that you're not interested in people's comments on your videos and your pictures and all your comments. Don't tell me you're not interested. You are. That's why you post it. You don't post it so no one will read it. You don't post it so no one will comment on it. You don't post it so no one will like it. You feed off of it. It's a social media whore. And our churches are full of them. It's very difficult. I've even had people, it's happened twice, at a Home Baptist church. Well, why weren't you at my wife's surgery and my husband's surgery? I didn't know anything about it. Well, we posted on Facebook. Don't tell me on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. And even if I was, that's not how you tell me. That's not how you do it. And don't get offended if I'm not there for your surgery that you posted on Facebook. Because I'm not going to get the message. So, you don't go on there. You don't post things with the purpose of forgetting about it. You want someone to reply. And then, people are so narcissistic, they get hurt or angry when someone doesn't respond. Well, it took them 19 minutes to respond to my photo. That offends me, they will say. Get over yourself. Or a person responds in a way that you don't like. Oh, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. So don't say that you don't care if your photos or comments go unnoticed. That's why you post them. Again, I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You crave it. And you ask someone, why are you on Facebook incessantly? Well, it's a good way to keep up with my old friends. May I ask you a question? Are those the old friends that you were never interested in, never thought about? Until Facebook? Are those the friends you're talking about? Let's be honest. Oh, yeah, that's them. Haven't thought of them in 20 years. And now I want to know everything about them. How sick is that? It's insanity. Social media can be an interruption to real life. How many people, instead of enjoying the moment, enjoying their surroundings, enjoying the event, enjoying the people that they are with, are more focused upon making sure the whole world knows about it rather than just enjoying the moment. People spend their lives via social media instead of being present in the moment and embrace it. And embracing it without feeling the need to document. You don't have to document everything. I'm waiting for the day when people start posting when they went to the bathroom. I'm serious. I mean, you tell everything you eat. It's ridiculous. So social media can and does get in the way of life. No question about it. Social media feeds temptations. Readily available communication leads people to pursue temptation and engage in very risky behaviors. They wander from page to page, profile to profile, picture to picture. And oh, how quickly that can lead down the path of undue curiosity. That can lead to lustful thoughts. Computer technology makes porn more readily and easily available to everyone. You think about this. In most of our days, we as kids, Chicago, we wandered the streets. Here you may have wandered the woods or the fields. But you did so with freedom and you explored and you congregated with friends. But that has been curtailed by parents because it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. So now they let them roam cyberspace. You want to talk about dangerous? 5 million predators on the internet every day. Oh, we can't have our kids playing the street. Give them a computer. Have you lost your mind? Seriously. Have you lost your mind? If you think that, it's frightening. Social media is a breeding ground, as we all know, for and feeds narcissism. Narcissism isn't going away. It's growing by the minute. What that is simply excessive or exotic interest in oneself. Why do people take all these selfies? It's ridiculous. Who knows how much time a day they spend taking pictures of themselves, sending it to friends, so-called. Narcissism, of course, is inflated self-importance, the feeding of the feeling of entitlement. Social media is a sad display of narcissism. I'm not saying everyone on there is a narcissist. That's not what I'm saying. Social media is a breeding ground for and feeds hypocrisy. Feeds hypocrisy. The image that many try to portray on Facebook is far from accurate. Anybody that knows them, that's not who they are. Don't you get tired? I mean, I just hear about it, it makes me tired. Don't you get tired of the pompous personifications of people? I'm talking about church people. That they just feel obliged to promote. Someone said to me once, I saw so-and-so on Facebook and they seem to be very godly. And I said, yeah, they seem so. Yeah, they seem that way. That's all I said. Believe me, they're not. But yeah, they seem that way. They go to a lot of effort to portray themselves in that way. But all I hear is Jesus in Matthew 23, woe unto you, Pharisees and hypocrites. Without a doubt, the use of social media contributes to making the world less genuine. No doubt about it. It also is a breeding ground for and feeds Pharisaism. Provides a platform for the Pharisees to cast their judgment on everybody. Makes me sick. And I've seen enough to know I see these people, I just go the other way. I don't even want to be around them. I really don't. I mean, I know who they are now. They've been much better. Before computer technology, I wouldn't have known any better, but I know who they are now. The use of social media has been devastating to marriages and families in a lot of ways. We can make a whole message on it. It has obliterated boundaries. Boundaries. Anybody here who has done any type of counseling with me, you hear it all the time. Boundaries. You got to have boundaries. And that's true in everything in life. Whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be at church, marriage, everything has to have boundaries. There has to be boundaries. But social media has obliterated boundaries. And there is a generation that does not know a thing about boundaries. Not a thing. Here is a simple, common sense truth that has been done away with in this day of social media. Married couples can be friends with other married couples, but separate male and female friendships has crossed the line. You've crossed the line. You've crossed the boundary. A boundary has been breached. And it's going to cause a problem. People today, females have all kinds of male friends on Facebook and vice versa. Well, every one of your male friends and every one of your female friends, if you're male, your wife or your husband needs to have access to every single one of them. Well, it's none of their business. Oh, yes, it is their business. Oh, yes, it is their business. The fact is, I would go as far as to say you probably shouldn't even have male. If you're female, have a male friend on Facebook. You're in danger. Crossing some boundaries. And I believe social media promotes that. Interacting with online acquaintances. Why would I want to connect with an ex-girlfriend? I mean, a whole lot of brain cells don't have to be firing for you to realize that's dangerous. And if you don't realize that's dangerous, you need help. I mean, you really do. It's a dangerous thing. Well, I wasn't interested in high school friends. I'm not today. I have no desire to go back to those places. I don't see a whole lot of good that can come out of it. Interacting with online acquaintances and friends, especially those of the opposite sex, it just isn't right. And it's extremely dangerous. But on social media, where people are less inhibited, it is far, far too easy for conversations to enter areas that they should not ever enter. There's conversations that you do not have with the opposite sex. You do not do that. That's common sense. At one time, everyone knew that. Now it's like a newsflash. Oh, I never thought of that. It's amazing. People are less inhibited. It's far too easy to share feelings and problems. And cause someone to start thinking, wow, they understand me better than my wife does. They understand me better than my husband. You start thinking that, you're on the wrong road. You're on a dangerous road. Great amount of time is spent interacting with others more than husbands and wives interact with themselves. Interact with their spouse. And it's a sad day when husbands and wives find online connections more interesting, more enjoyable, more fulfilling than communication with their spouse. that's trouble. There's nothing good that can come out of that. Don't allow your marriage to drift into your own social, your own individual social media space. That's what's happening today. Husbands and wives sit together and they're both on their phones, texting or whatever, not communicating. Also, you think about family, all the electronic gadgets creates more individualistic, alienated society. And families get together, and though they're together, they're really not. It's a wonderful thing, social media. Your family's 500 miles away, and social media, you can communicate with. Oh, it's wonderful. But isn't it something when you all get in the same room, everybody's sitting in their own space? Something wrong with that. There's something seriously, seriously wrong. There's husband and wife, they're each on their phones. There's the children, they're each on their phones. There's grandma and grandpa, they don't know what's going on. And there's the grandchildren, there they are on their games or whatever they're doing. I'm here to tell you, if I was raising my children today and we had company over at the house and they got on a gadget and started playing and not interacting, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's rude. That's a problem. But today it's acceptable. You can drive 500 miles to go visit your grandchildren, and the whole time you're there, they're playing a stupid game. There's nothing right with that. That's not good communication. It tears down the family. We're almost done. The use of social media, again, is a great family divider when the family is together many times. The use of social media has had a detrimental effect upon the Lord's churches and will continue to have. And will continue to affect fellowship. It has the power. The misuse of it, I should say, has the power to embitter, to offend, to divide, and to discourage fellow church members. It really does. And it also has that power within our fellowship. And may I say something is terribly wrong when you share a prayer request with your friends on social media that you do not share with your church family. Don't you see that that's wrong? That's a problem. That's a real problem. That's offensive. It really is. Social media has created a universal church type atmosphere. You see it all the time. See it all the time. It has enabled pastors and other church members to proselyte. It's enabled them to do that. It's a tool for those who proselyte. I could say a lot on proselyting. There was a day, still is in my book, if a church member calls me from Kansas, of another church, and says, Brother Dan, we'd like to join Home Baptist Church. I'm on the phone with their pastor. I want to know what's going on. I don't invite them. I don't encourage them to come this way. I'm not going to do that. It's not right. There's nothing right about it. But today, not only are there pastors that proselyte, their church members proselyte. Oh, you ought to move down here, or you ought to move up here. Are you the Holy Spirit? That's a serious problem. And it's going to destroy churches. Because when man begins to add, and that's what's happening, destruction is going to be the result. Social media, and in particular Facebook, is used as a tool for church people to build their own cases. And when you reply to something that you know nothing about, and people do that all the time, it can be the simple reply, "I'm praying for you." You know how they take it if they're building a case for themselves? Pah! They're on my side. And you know how everybody else takes it that's connected with them on Facebook? Oh, they're on their side. It's all about sides. I'm sick of it. I really am. It's all about sides. All about painting a good picture. We don't want our family to look bad. So we got to get everybody on our side. Got to line up all our ducks. That's wicked. And it's splitting a fellowship. It's sad. Be careful what you respond to. You may not have a clue what that person's talking about. And just remember the simple reply, praying for you or love you. You mean it to be encouraging, but I'm here to tell you, if they're trying to build a case for something, that's not how they're taking it. Got another one on my side. Social media. I mentioned this at the conference in Elkton a few years ago. The women did not speak to me the rest of the conference, which was fine. Gives women a platform to preach. There's no denying it. We say, and women say in their pompous way, we don't believe in women preachers, and quit preaching on Facebook. Quit preaching to men on Facebook. Quit preaching to pastors on Facebook. It's everywhere. We have a lot of women preachers in our churches. They just don't have the audacity to get up behind this pulpit because they know they wouldn't be allowed. But you put them behind a screen and they get pretty bold. It's sickening. It's disgusting. But it's there. And no doubt about it. There's no one who can argue that. And I believe that it's also a platform for the Pharisees. It is revealed. I find social media to be very discouraging. It's revealed a lot of things about our churches. It's revealed a lot of things about people that, I've lost respect for now. I believe that the use of social media has revealed the sad spiritual state of affairs in our churches. It certainly has revealed that there are those who are not very separated in their living, take pictures of themselves in shorts. Even if you wear those things, why do you want to post it on Facebook? Why? That's what it's revealing. Manifest prom pictures. People are proud of it. Preachers. Pictures of their daughters with dresses up to here going to the prom, and they're proud of it. Have you lost your mind? What is wrong with you? And then they get upset if you say something to them about it. You posted it. You made it public. I thought it was open for public discussion. But it is revealed to us that there are a lot of people that are not very separated. It is also revealed that they're not at least a bit ashamed of it. I mean, it's unbelievable. What I hear people post without any shame. It also reveals that they have no intention of serving the Lord. None whatsoever. Through their church. They're more interested in the world. It's really revealed that our churches are filled with unsafe people. Really has. Brother Harvey used to say he believed 90% of church people were lost. I said, wow, that's pretty high. I don't know. You might be getting close. And again, it's revealed a lot of hateful people. What it's revealed is there's a lot of people in our churches, in our fellowship, that I just don't like. I'll just be flat out honest. I just don't want to be around them. If they're that hateful, I have no desire to be around them. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel that way. It's going to destroy fellowships. In closing, not everything is bad with computer technology. But when you enter the human equation, the evil is far greater than the good. There's no doubt about it. Again, people will say, well, Brother Dan, you got to know. I get in there so I know what to pray for. I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. Instead of spending the time on Facebook, why don't you pray? If you're really interested in praying, I don't even see how you have time for prayer. All these people say that they use it as a tool of prayer. They're on the thing all day. When do they pray? They're not praying. Hypocrisy. So it's revealed many things. But again, this Word of God is a book filled with principles that ought to govern our use of computers as well. Oh, that we would not enter the swamp of social media. I'm not saying you can't be on it and not do some good things. That's not what I'm saying. But you had certainly better be aware of the evil, of the power of the tool that you have in your hand. I've often said in the flesh, oh, I wish I could get on Facebook. I ought to get on Facebook today. I ought to get on there. I never will, hopefully. The Lord gives me more sense, because it wouldn't be good. But remember the principles. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Do not be hasty. Do not be hasty to respond to what you probably don't know a thing about. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Don't become a participant in the sins of others. Keep thyself pure. Those are good principles. Tell you something else. Facebook is... You want to add stress to your life? That'll do it. Social media will do it. This morning, trying to get ready to prepare for worship, the devil tapped someone on the shoulder and said, hey, why don't you text Sharon? She's in a pretty good place right now. Why don't you text her? That's the way it happened. We had enough sense to only read a few lines. But you don't. If you have an ounce of spirituality in you, you know you do not, a half hour before church, before someone's going to church, you don't text that nonsense. That's of the devil. There's no doubt about it. That's of Satan. And it's stressful. It was really stressful. And my temptation was to read the rest of it, but we both knew better. Still haven't read the rest of it, and probably won't. It ought to be a happy place. It ought to be a place, if you're going to be on this thing, it ought to be a place that you can find some joy, doesn't add stress to your life, doesn't zap your time. I think it was about 2 years ago, Sharon decided she would just try to get off of him. She hadn't missed, she hadn't been back since. Hadn't missed it. Who's going to miss that stress? Something comes over 10 minutes before bedtime, and the next thing you do, you're tossing and turning all night long because you're mad. That's of the devil. There's no question about it. And I don't need those kind of friends. If those are my friends, I'm in trouble. The people today don't think they can live without it. But I'll challenge everyone here, get off of it for 2 weeks. Get off of it for 2 weeks. See if you miss it. See if you miss it. And if you do, maybe you got other problems. There's really nothing to miss. I mean, it is a sad day when, and this isn't the case with us, but I know it is with many. It's sad when your kids, they post all the grandkids' pictures on Facebook and you're not even on it. And they have the audacity to say, well, if you get on Facebook, you'd see them. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. Right. Put the pictures in an envelope and mail them. Right. Amen. Grandma and grandpa aren't interested in getting on social media. But that's how, in many ways, it divides families. I've been saying since 2004, this is evil. This is an evil tool. I remember when it first came out preaching, this is something bad. This is not good. And it's worse than I've ever imagined. And it's going to be worse as we go on. It's not going to improve. People say, well, how can we fix it? Fix human nature. That's how you fix it. That's the only way. It's the only way you can fix it, because that's the problem. The computer's not the problem. The cell phone's not the problem. The problem is whose hand it's in. That's the problem. And if you cannot control your fingers, then don't even have a phone that texts. Don't have a computer. If you don't have enough control to control your fingers, and you just get on there and not even think, you shouldn't have it. You shouldn't have it at all. We need to seriously, and I know, like I said, the day's coming, I'm going to preach this at a conference. And people are going to get mad. But that's because I'm attacking their God.
That's right.
That's what it is. People don't like their gods to be attacked. And there's no getting around it. There's no getting around it. It's as plain as can be. God help us. Again, I'm not condemning you if you're on it, but I would certainly say you'd better be careful how you use it. Remember the biblical principles. There's a lot of things that you don't even need to reply to. You don't even need to reply. What good's going to come of it? None. So why reply? Well, I got to get my side out there. Are you a narcissist? Well, they need to. Are you a narcissist? Admit it. Yes, you are. Why do you have to get your side out there? Aren't you the one interested in praying? Why don't you pray? These people, they lie. They'll look at you and lie right to your face about why they're on it. And it's lies. God help us to be a godly people. Be a godly people. A separated people. People that love one another. And that we would grow closer together as a church family. Not everyone out there needs to be in our family, believe it or not. Be careful who you invite into your world. They may cause you an awful lot of stress, an awful lot of misery. Be careful who you invite into your world. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.